To Prayer Life by Andrew Murray. Persevering in prayer to fight against prayerlessness. As soon as a Christian becomes convinced of his sin in this manner, his first thought is that he must begin to strive with God's help to gain a victory over it. However, he soon experiences that his striving is worth little, and a discouraging thought comes over him like a wave, that such a life is not for him, that he cannot remain faithful. At conferences on the subject of prayer held during the past years, many ministers have openly said that it seemed impossible for them to attain such a strict life. Recently, I received a letter from a minister, well known for his ability and devotion, in which he writes, "As far as I am concerned, it does not seem to help me to hear too much about the life of prayer, about the strenuous exertion for which we must prepare ourselves, and about all the time and trouble and endless effort it will cost us. These things discourage me. I have so often heard them, have time after time put them to the test, and the result has always been sadly disappointing. It does not help me to be told you must pray more, hold a closer watch over yourself, and become altogether a more earnest Christian." My reply to him was as follows. "I think in all that I've said at the conference or elsewhere, I've never mentioned exertion or struggle, because I'm so entirely convinced that our efforts are futile unless we first learn how to abide in Christ by a simple faith." My correspondent wrote further, "The message I need is this, that your relationship to the living Savior is what it ought to be. Live in His presence, rejoice in His love, and rest in Him. A better message could not be given. Let it only be properly understood. See that your relationship to the living Savior is what it ought to be. But this is just what will certainly make it possible for one to live the life of prayer. We must not comfort ourselves with the thought of standing in a right relationship to the Lord Jesus while the sin of prayerlessness has power over us, and while we, along with the whole church, have to complain about our feeble lives that make us unfit to pray for ourselves, for the church, or for the missions as we ought. If we recognize in the first place that a right relationship to the Lord Jesus, above all else, includes prayer, with both the desire and power to pray according to God's will, then we have something that gives us a right to rejoice in Him and to rest in Him." I've related this incident to point out how naturally discouragement will be the result of self-effort and will shut out all hope of improvement or victory. This is indeed the condition of many Christians when called on to persevere in prayer. As intercessors, they feel it is something entirely beyond their reach, that they do not have the power for the self-sacrifice and consecration necessary for such prayer. They shrink from the effort and struggle that will, as they suppose, make them unhappy. They have tried in the power of the flesh to conquer the flesh, a wholly impossible thing. They have endeavored to, by Beelzebub, to cast out Beelzebub, and this can never happen. It is Jesus alone who can subdue the flesh and the devil. We have spoken of a struggle that will certainly result in disappointment and discouragement, just as the effort made in our own strength. But there is another struggle that will certainly lead to victory. The Bible speaks of the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. That is to say, it is a fight that springs from and is carried on by faith. We must get right understanding about faith, and we must stand fast in our faith. Jesus Christ is ever the author and finisher of our faith. It is when we come into a right relationship with Him that we can be sure of the help and power He bestows. We must first earnestly say, "Do not strive in your own strength. Cast yourself at the feet of the Lord Jesus and wait upon Him in the sure confidence that He is with you and works in you." Then we must say, "Strive in prayer. Let faith fill your heart, and you will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Ephesians 6, verse 10. An illustration will help us to understand this. a devoted Christian woman who conducted a large Bible class with zeal and success, was once troubled and went to her pastor. In her earlier years, she had enjoyed much blessing in private prayer and in fellowship with the Lord and His Word. But this had been gradually lost, and no matter what she tried, she could not get right. The Lord had blessed her work, but the joy had gone out of her life. The pastor asked what she had done to regain the lost blessedness. "I have done everything," she said, "that I can think of, but all in vain." He then questioned her about her experience in connection with her conversion. She gave an immediate and clear answer. "At first I spared no pains in my attempt to become better and to free myself from sin. But it was all useless. At last I began to understand that I must lay aside all my efforts and simply trust the Lord Jesus to bestow on me His life and peace, and He did it." "Why don't you try this again then?" asked the pastor. "As you go into your inner chamber, your quiet place of private prayer, however cold and dark your heart may be, do not try in your own might to force yourself into the right attitude. Bow before Him and tell Him that you know that He sees in what a sad state you are and that your only hope is in Him. Trust Him with a childlike trust to have mercy upon you and wait upon Him. In such a trust, you are in a right relationship to Him. You have nothing. He has everything." A while later, this lady told the pastor that his advice had helped her. She had learned that faith and the love of the Lord Jesus is the only method of getting into fellowship with God in prayer. Do you not begin to see, my reader, that there are two kinds of warfare? First is when we seek to conquer prayerlessness in our own strength. In that case, my advice to you is to give over your restlessness and effort. Fall helpless at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He will speak the word, and your soul will live. If you have done this, then comes a message, "This is but the beginning of everything." It will require deep earnestness, the exercise of all your power, and a watchfulness of the entire heart, eager to detect the least backsliding. Above all, it will require a surrender to a life of self-sacrifice that God really desires to see in us, that He will work out for us. Andrew Murray.